Hello and welcome back to the There Is a Floodlight That Never Goes Out podcast. As always, I am joined by Will. How are you, mate?
I'm not too bad, thanks. How are you?
I don't know how to express the way I'm feeling right now. It's a really strange one. As we sit here on Monday, the 19th of April, recording this podcast, plans sort of have been out for around 24 hours now about the European Super League and the plans in place to form a European Super League. So, apologies that we're not going to be doing our usual preview slash review Sunday Monday episode. It just seems like everything that's going on right now pales into insignificance in comparison to the European Super League. I don't know if you'll have caught the audio exclusive special on Sunday night with me and Ed, but if you have, thanks for listening. But Will wasn't on that episode, so Will, I mean, I've got to ask you for your first thoughts on this and how you felt when you first saw the plans.
I think originally it was almost shocking because I think for like years now there's been this almost this talk, like little bit of talk about having this, sort of Super League with top teams from Europe playing in it. But it has always been nothing more than a bit of like just talk, bit of rumours. And literally within sort of 24 hours it went from being a little bit of like a rumour to full-blown reality. With six clubs from the Premier League and other teams from the top leagues in Europe signing themselves up to it, and everything else has just kind of fallen apart around it. It's like, it is proper. I mean, as you mentioned, we were going to do our usual championship review, and we found ourselves just like talking about the games, thinking, well, we don't even know what this means anymore for these clubs because we just don't know what's going to happen.
Like you said, we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously we're going to talk about some of the permutations. I mean, first things first, I've got to ask you this, and it's I think I know the answer I'm going to get. Would you be happy to see a breakaway?
No, absolutely not. I just think the system we've got now works. It's so effective. It's just I don't see how anyone, from a football fan's point of view, I don't see how anyone can like the idea of this new Super League.
I mean, well, I'm looking here at the financials of it. Mentioned on last night's audio episode that I was reading an article that said JP Morgan was set to fund the league. It's now been confirmed that JP Morgan are going to fund the league and look set to be pumping in around $6 billion worth of capital. I mean, Will, this just A, it stinks, it smacks of greed, and B, we're selling football to the bankers. This is the people's game. I mean, how does that make you feel?
I mean, I think everyone will be very, they'll know the phrase, created by the poor, stolen by the rich, and this is it couldn't be any more perfect in this case. It's just like you say, it's the people's game that, is nothing without fans has just been literally robbed from us by these billionaires who literally, I think most of them don't really care about football, don't understand football, don't understand what it's like to be a fan of football, giving, literally your money to go watch your team and the sort of emotions that come with that. And this is just literally just breaking down the system that's been in place for years. And it's a system that isn't broken. It's a system that works. Everyone likes it. It's just ridiculous.
And as the listeners will, or regular listeners will know, me and you are both Barnsley fans, but it's not criminal sin that I have a soft spot for Manchester United. You have a soft spot for Liverpool, and a lot of your family are Liverpool supporters, and you look at the foundations on which Liverpool were built on, Bill Shankly's dream, Paisley, Fagan, the boot room. They've won the most European Cups of any British side. Jürgen Klopp, a manager who holds socialist values. Everything that this club claims to be is it's being wiped from underneath it. I mean, Liverpool Football Club have trademarked the phrases, "This means more" and "You'll never walk alone." Mm-hmm. And yet they're willing to toss all these things that surround Liverpool Football Club, that make Liverpool Football Club so great, to bankers, just to make John W. Henry, who's a billionaire in his own right, even more money.
Yeah. I mean, like you mentioned, it's what the club itself is built upon. It's probably one of sort of the big teams we see in Europe that we've been led to believe is still for the fans, you know, the fans have such a big influence. And this is just clear evidence that it's not. You know, it's a lie. Mm. It's, you know, Liverpool only until recently used marketing campaigns built around this idea of it being funded by the fans, and it's all for the fans, for the people of Liverpool. And it's just, you know, this is just proven that it's a complete load of rubbish and nothing more than a marketing campaign. You know, they couldn't care less is how it is. Like you say, it's all about the man at the top making a few extra quid. And the knock-on effect that has is just unbelievable.
I mean, that's sort of the first part that I wanted to get off of our chest. But you're looking at it as well, for us as Barnsley fans, we're having our most successful year in 21 seasons. And yet, it doesn't feel like we are now going to have a successful season. 42 games of blood, sweat and tears. We're currently sixth in the Championship. And there's a good chance that if these teams do get expelled from the Premier League, we will be a Premier League club. But what would that mean for you as a Barnsley fan to get to the Premier League and then just be playing teams that we played in the Championship, you know, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it just loses the magic touch, you know. The dream of getting into the Premier League is based around those trips to Old Trafford, those trips to Anfield. If you just strip that from the Premier League, I just don't think it's just not as special. And while, of course, there's still some big teams going to remain, the likes of Everton, West Ham, etc., you know, Newcastle, these are big teams. No one's denying that. But, you know, when you're a kid, you grow up and you're taught that Man United, Liverpool, you know, these are the big teams. You know, regardless of performance on the pitch, they're the big teams. You know, they're the ones that you dream to go and watch. And that's just, and the idea of them being stripped away and put into a closed league somewhere that no one is really that bothered about just completely ruins that.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, and this is the next thing I want to touch upon. More broadly, we're seeing an Americanization of the sport, and football is, just as Liverpool's built on principles, football's built on principles of competitiveness. You get rewarded for wins, and you get the opposite for defeats. You get relegations for defeats. You get promotions for victories, and we're seeing this competitiveness taken out of the game by American owners, by the likes of Joel Glazer, who don't even understand offside rule. And we're doing it with clubs like Arsenal, who are ninth in the Premier League, Tottenham, who are seventh. These clubs probably aren't even in the top 30 best teams in Europe at the minute.
Yeah.
And yet they're forming this conglomerate which is calling itself Super.
Yeah.
The thing I want to ask you is, do you think it even can be successful?
Well, I just think it's one of those things you've got to think about. The Premier League as a league, most times out of 10, obviously there's the odd rare occasion, probably two-thirds of the way through the season, you pretty much know who's going to win, whether it's down to you know, one or two teams, maybe three. You pretty much know who's going to win. That being said, in this so-called Super League, it'll be the same in that. So by, you know, two-thirds of the season, whatever, you're going to know who roughly is going to win. And there's nothing else to play for apart from winning it. You can't get relegated, so, you know, you're not fighting to stay up. There's no, you know, European to try qualify. So apart from maybe the very top few teams who are fighting to win it, the other teams just aren't going to care anymore. They've got nothing to fight for. So we're going to see a big part of the season of just boring, dull games that mean nothing. I think that in its own is a big problem. And then you could talk about the massive knock-on effects it has on... I mean, originally, it was said that these clubs wanted to continue in their domestic leagues. That, like, simply just would never work. Because if you still had the likes of Liverpool, etc., playing in the Premier League, and instead of playing the Champions League, they were playing in the Super League midweek, it wouldn't work because you would have Liverpool, Man United, etc., would still be doing well domestically in the league, probably. And so they'd be up there maybe third, fourth, whatever. However, they wouldn't be qualifying for the Champions League in those spots because they were in the Super League. So then you'd have teams who were below them who would actually be getting the benefits of finishing. It's a flaw, like, it just doesn't work. So that the only way to do it would be to strip them from the league entirely, and we've just spoken about the problems that causes.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk over the years now of how the top six is a monopoly, and it's a closed party for these so-called super clubs, the so-called big six, like I said. Yet there's still the pipe dream that, you know, my club might one day be able to get there, might be able to get into Europe, might be able to get into the Champions League. Mm-hmm. And we look at clubs like Leicester who, you know, 2013-14, they were playing Barnsley. And 2 years later, they won the Premier League.
Look at
West Ham. I know they've spent a lot of money, but they're currently in a Champions League spot. To do this, and like you said, even if these clubs were allowed to still take part in their domestic divisions, the amount of money that's being pumped in by JP Morgan would literally make the Premier League uncompetitive. Yeah. And it's pretty uncompetitive as it is. But if you talk about £350 million cash injections into each of these clubs, how on earth is a team like Brighton, Burnley, meant to compete with these teams? And yet apparently they're meant to be on a level playing field.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it just doesn't work. And I don't want to say they've not thought about it, because they clearly have done, but they've thought about it from this greedy, selfish point of view, which is, they're still going to make more money, and it's, you know, that's clearly all they care about. And I think it's one of them where, let's face it, the billionaires, they were never going to turn down an offer which makes them more money. That was never going to, that, you know, that's not the problem. I think the problem is that somewhere along the line, it's these people who've gained full control of the clubs and have just stripped it from its roots of being, you know, clubs for the fans. And in the modern game, we just don't see that anymore. You know, the sort of relationship between fans and owners is, in the majority of clubs, is non-existent. And that's why we're going to see probably more things like this, because, you know, the billionaires were never going to turn down more billions, were they?
No, you're right there. And said, this isn't a problem that's happened overnight. Yeah, maybe the Super League news has broke to us overnight, but this is a problem that you can probably root back to the early 2000s of Abramovich taking over at Chelsea, the Glazers taking over at Manchester United with a leveraged buyout, which meant not only have they never put a penny of their own money into the club, taken out of the club, they're now going to try and pretty much kill the club. There was no regulator to say, no, you can't do that. And that's where English football's got to look at itself and go, how on earth have we let this happen?
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
It is. It just removes the sort of magic of football, because whether you're a fan of, you know, one of these teams or not, nobody doesn't like seeing a big Champions League draw, you know, two European giants going up against each other in the Champions League. Everyone loves to see it. You know, everyone enjoys it, doesn't matter who you support, whatever, people will watch it. And it works because it'll only happen with those exact teams, maybe, what, one in every 5 years or something. You know, it's a rare thing to happen, which makes it great. If this is happening every week at midnight in Dubai, it's just, you know what I mean, it's just not special anymore. It just loses its magic. And it's just, I don't know.
I mean, I think what was a great analogy with I think it was Mike McCarthy at Radio Sheffield who makes it. He said, the European Super League is like the kid who asked to eat chocolate for his breakfast. And he's allowed it once, and he says, that's magic, that. I'd love to eat chocolate for my breakfast every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then his parents say, right, you can have it every day then. And mm-hmm. after a couple of weeks, he says, oh, I don't like chocolate for my breakfast anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's too normalised. And that's exactly how I think the European Super League will go. After a season or so, we'll go, who really wants to watch Real Madrid thump Arsenal 4-5-0?
Mm-hmm. And yet Arsenal not care about it because they can finish last place and get paid the same amount. Like, it, you know what I mean? There's no consequence of them doing that, so they don't care either.
Yeah, yeah. Next problem, what I want to talk to you about, which this is probably the comment that's most disgusted me,
mm-hmm.
Is the Glazers, I think, or Ed Woodward, sorry. Was referred to fans at a season ticket holding level or even at just living in the same country as each club's level as legacy fans. I mean, how insulting is that to someone who goes to the games week in, week out?
Not only goes to the games, but I mean, I don't know what the going rate for a Man United season ticket is, but I can't imagine they're cheap. You know what I mean? Yeah. Forking out how many hundreds to go watch their team to be insulted like that, it's disgusting.
Yeah, and then there's the problem of saying, this is where the point was made, said, we will always have the backing of our legacy fans and always have the thoughts of our legacy fans at the back of our minds. We want to push on and get new fans that... I mean, this is literally new fans.
Yeah, I want to know, where are these new fans coming from?
Literally, football is such an organic thing. You can't grow supporters, you can't grow a love for a club. It's either there or it isn't.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're trying to make... I mean, it is a product. We accepted it was a product years ago. But the fact that they're trying to make it as something that's not even organic anymore says it all.
Yeah, it does. It's just... I mean, if we move on from kind of... to how it practically, you know, fine, they put it in place, what the sort of repercussions actually are of that. Because one big thing that's been broken today is that UEFA, FIFA, etc. are saying that any players who participate in this Super League won't be allowed to play at things like the World Cup. I mean, so that immediately removes all... because let's face it, the majority of the world's top talent are within these founding teams. Oh, yeah, and so that just immediately makes the World Cup this magical thing that has been going on for years and years and years. Like every, you don't have to be a football fan to enjoy the World Cup. It's massive. Yeah. If that somehow loses its kind of its power from you know being stripped of the very best players, it's like they're seriously just ruining the game as a whole.
I mean, yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? How are 12 men, or you know, it might be more, might be less, how are 12 men, 12 mostly Americans, with the exception of Agnelli at Juve and Perez at Real, unable to take away something so magical? I mean, there's people in this country who live for the England national team, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dictating which players can and can't. I mean, UEFA probably have to do this.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's one of them things they have to say this is what will happen. But if they were to follow through on the threat, which would mean that these big six owners, these owners of other European clubs, were quite simply going to take away these international players from playing for their country, it would be disgraceful.
Yeah, it would. And I think a big thing we'll see is, I imagine the players who, let's say this league happens, the players who are playing in these games will be the players who play for the money. Because I think we'll see the players who are seriously like passionate about the game, they'll want to be playing for something and have the chance to go and play for their country at the World Cup. You know what I mean? They'll want to play in the Premier League and push for the Champions League or whatever. They won't want, like... a footballer isn't going to want to play a glorified pre-season tournament as their actual thing, are they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, we've seen obviously today the news that Mourinho was sacked, and you know, there's debates whether it's about this or whether it's just simply based on performances. We don't know. Will we see more managers from these clubs? You know, someone perhaps maybe like Jurgen Klopp, who has been openly against the idea of this league. You know, will he step down from his job if the club do decide to go ahead with this? You know, what will happen?
I think that's the next sort of interesting thing, isn't it? What happens next? I mean, I spoke to Eddie about it on the audio, sort of, on the audio exclusive last night about, you know, will these managers say, no, that's it? Yeah. You don't know what's happened with Mourinho. I mean, the thing that makes sense to me is this cash injection's obviously allowed Spurs to say, to look at their financials and go, right, we can afford to sack him. So we'll pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Now, what's happened in the aftermath of that, we'll never know until the book that Mourinho will release. But I think you're right. These players, these managers, won't want to play in a glorified pre-season friendly. And so some of these managers that we see in the Premier League have real values. I mean, Jurgen Klopp is a committed socialist. Mm-hmm. And if there was someone to embody Liverpool Football Club, it'd be Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he says on Monday Night Football tonight, because if they ask him a question about the Super League, it might be no comment, but it might be this explosive, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Event that's seen all around the world, and he goes on a 10-minute sort of rant, you know, this, and then resigns. Yeah. And then it's not only Klopp, though. Despite the fact he works for a club that has its issues with human rights in the country of its owners, Pep Guardiola's, you know, he's pretty outspoken on his sort of, you know, left-wing views, and even on the touchline, he's shown support for a lot of refugees. He's shown support in the past for Spain, for Catalonian independence from Spain.
Yeah.
So these aren't, you know, not politically charged coaches, and see what happens next will be interesting. But I'm looking here, and you know, we seem to get a new bit of news every 5 minutes, don't we? But this is the latest. In a meeting on Friday from the UEFA Executive Committee, they will discuss expelling the two Manchester clubs, Chelsea and Arsenal, from the semi-finals of the Champions League and Europa League. Now, what does that mean to these players? Especially, you know, Man United, who've played 51 matches already this season, that everything they've worked towards this season is going to be gone like that, just because of their owners.
I mean, like you say, the news literally coming in as we're recording is just never ending. So many different things coming out. I think one thing we haven't touched on is the clubs who've said no, or at least have said no for the moment. As it's, am I right in saying it's Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, PSG, and recently, is it RB Leipzig?
Who've
turned down the privilege to join this Super League. do you think that'll stay the same? You know, will these clubs eventually, you know, not be able to resist the money, or will they stick to their guns and not join this league?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to wait and see. I think Bayern are under huge pressure, to be honest, to join this Super League, and PSG for that matter. I think them two clubs are under immense pressure, because although this season we're seeing a very competitive league earn, PSG will win that league 9 seasons out of 10. So there's pressure for them, and I think there's a good chance that they will cave in. I mean, we're seeing a 14-day deadline for them to join the Super League. Maybe they'll wait it out, we'll never know. But in Germany, it's the 50+1 rule, isn't it? And it's something that's got a lot of traction, a lot of talking about it a lot since the announcement, saying, you know, this is a model that should be adopted over here. And it would require a certain percentage of the fans to agree to this. I mean, I don't envisage a situation where any fan of any club who's going to be joining the Super League would agree to it. So
yeah,
in that sense, the German clubs should be okay. And I've read about RB Leipzig. Apparently, I'm not sure if this is true. Someone shall correct me if it isn't. But apparently, they don't really comply to the 50+1 rule anyway. So if they want to join, they will join. But their sporting directors come out and said, you know, I think it's a sham. So I'd like to think that they won't. And yeah, I mean, huge credit's got to go to these clubs. Really does, because if Bayern and PSG join the Super League, I mean, you can do all the protests you like. There's no negotiations there from UEFA's side, because what can they do? They've lost their biggest asset in Bayern Munich. What do you think about these clubs?
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. It'd be nice to see some big clubs sort of taking a stand and saying, like, no, you know, this isn't what we want. It would be nice to see that, but I think the money that they're talking about in this league is, you know, ridiculous, uncomprehendable amounts. And so,
yeah,
you know, when they've seen all their sort of similar level teams around Europe joining, it would be hard for them to turn it down. And that's why it's just removed all level of competitiveness. You know, if they were to remain in their own league, you know, they'd probably still dominate their league most years. If the Champions League were to continue, they'd have a very high chance at winning that most years. And we've been lucky that the Champions League is a tournament which you can never really call, you know, because you're putting Europe's very best against each other. And then, you know, you had the teams like Ajax a few years ago who were a bit of a surprise, but still a brilliant team and go on these amazing runs. And I just don't think that would really happen when you're removing these big clubs.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Champions League, and prior to it, before it's renamed, the European Cup, it's the most special tournament in club football, isn't it? You know, you see players, they don't talk about winning, you know, Serie A and the World Cup. They talk about Champions League, World Cup.
Yeah,
that's the dream. And, you know, we're even seeing players now, you know, like Savander Herrera, Lucas Podolski, Bruno Fernandes, saying you can't buy dreams, you know.
Yeah.
And this is effectively what these owners are trying to do. And like I said earlier on in the pod, the very foundations of the clubs joining this are built upon European success. I mean, what is Real Madrid without its European trophies, you know?
Yeah.
Why did the Busby Babes die if Manchester United's European history is just going to be wiped by some greedy Americans? I mean, it's a situation that's beyond words. You have to find words to try and sum it up, to try and get it off your chest, but it's so hard to comprehend, because it's not just six clubs in England that are going to suffer from this. If they leave the Premier League, teams in the Premier League won't be able to survive in the climate that they find themselves in. They can't afford the wages they'd be paying the players without the TV revenue staying high, and it just simply wouldn't. And then you'd be seeing grassroots football in this country failed because there'd be no stimulus for that. See the Football League collapse. It's this knock-on effect that, like I've said before, that 12 maybe more people can create. It's how did we get to this point?
I think it's one of the most annoying things being a fan is how powerless you are in this whole situation. Because, you know, realistically, we can complain and protest as much as we want, but realistically, it'll make no odds. Because, and it's so frustrating, because were all these people to just completely leave, like, you know, forget about these clubs, they would be nothing at all. They simply wouldn't. You know, these businesses, these enterprises they've built up would be nothing without the fans. And it's a cliche, but it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, you remove the fans from football and football doesn't exist. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, I think I'm struggling to find words and questions and everything, because there's so much we can talk about, but it's always going to come back to that same point for me. You know, it's, I mean, Rio Ferdinand summed it up well. It's a war on football, and these people are literally taking away something that was built by the commoner. and turning it into something that's going to make profit for themselves and JP Morgan. JP Morgan, by the way, a firm that was bailed out by the American taxpayer only 13 years ago. But it really does say all about the state of football that we find ourselves in on this day. I mean, is there anything you'd like to say, Will, just sort of before we wrap it up?
I think we've covered most things. I just think one sort of final issue with this whole thing is how unclear they've been on how this thing is like actually going to work. You know, we've had like the rough guidance that, you know, it's going to be how many teams they can get in a closed league sort of style. But we don't know where these games are going to be played. You know, how often, they said midweek, but are we talking every week? Are we talking every other week? Are we talking every, you know, there's been no sort of, it's sort of the same, well, it's happening, but we haven't been told exactly what's happening.
Yeah, you're bang on in that sense that it seems like Gary Neville said it. These clubs, these owners, they're bottle merchants. Manchester United haven't even released a statement to their fans yet.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, isn't it?
How disgusting is this? The utter contempt that they see these fans with. They did a supporters forum on Friday, and Ed Woodward assured fans that they'd be the first to know if there was any developments. 2 days later, this comes out. Not a word, not a peep. It shows the contempt that these people hold the likes of me and you with.
It's just so frustrating, and yet we're just so powerless, and the game that so many people know and love, including ourselves, is just being sort of ripped away from us, and we just can't do anything about it.
Yeah, you're banging on that one. Yeah, a sad day for football is what I'd say, or a sad sort of 48 hours football. This is the one episode where, if you are listening on YouTube, we'd absolutely love it if you left a comment. We'd love to create a discourse on this subject, and we'll be, you know, sure to interact with you if you do leave a comment. Please do drop a like on the video, subscribe, follow us on Twitter. If you listen on Spotify, please do follow and subscribe to us. Same with Apple, and please leave a review. Sorry to be bringing you such a downbeat podcast, but I think it's something that had to be done. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Cheers, guys.